Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Oh, don't let the world tell you you're crazy. You know why you're praising him. You know what you used to be. You know where you've come from. And I love him better every day. Every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate Dad taking care of all the announcements. So let's get right into the Word tonight. James chapter 5, if you have your Bibles with you. It's good to have Brother Sister Sproles and the kids here today. Everyone else, make it out to the house of the Lord. Play a little bit of musical chairs, but it'll be all right. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we just need something shooken up a little bit. But it's good to be in God's house. It's good to still have a refuge from the things of the world and the cares of this life. I don't know. You know, I don't like presuming in things, but brother, sister, we ought to cherish these times a little bit more than what we do. I think I wonder when it'll be in a few times. Who knows? This next election could change all kinds of things for all we know. There's so. If you've had any hope in the national realm at all, I pray that this election process so far has destroyed your confidence in something that never you should have never put any in it. Man, even when it's like, what was it? The conventions they just had, the Republicans all split up, Democrats were all split up, and then they got a Libertarian trying to run, and he's just as vulgar and mean as any of the rest of them, and I'm like, the good thing I don't care about none of this, because I'd be really depressed right now. I wouldn't know where to turn, you know. But I'm glad that God came and he turned me the way I was supposed to go. He helped me cast my vote the right way. And that's for the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 5 tonight. Let's read the word. Appreciate you standing in respects to it. James 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. I like to stop right there. For a context tonight, I like to preach on the season of harvest. The season of harvest. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. Is there a need on your heart you'd like to lift to Him as we approach His Word? God bless you. He knows the need in your heart. Let's pray with all of our heart. Invite the Lord to have His way today. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another chance to be in the house of God. And Lord, we look with spiritual eyes, knowing, Lord, that at any moment things could just change on this shaking world. It's the grace of God that we can come and to feel your presence and to have a voice, still speak the real word of God. And we pray, Lord, that it'll come and just anoint the word right into every heart that's here, that it'll bring forth that wall that you set up in the Garden of Eden against sin, the wall of your word. May every soul here be fortified behind that wall, Father, and the devil have no place to go. Heal every sickness. Provide every need, Lord. Bring back every backslidden, Lord, and restore every soul back to their rightful place with you. If there's anyone here who needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I pray that tonight they'd receive it. Commit this service into your hands, Lord. Speak through my lips. Meet the needs of every heart. have the preeminence in our lives, Lord. And may this service bring a smile to your face. May you be happy with everything said and done. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Glory to God. The season of harvest. So we read it here in the book of James, and I've really been trying to take my time through here, and I believe it's been fit for for what we need as believers. God knows what we need to hear and when we need to hear it.
Amen.
I've so appreciated the ministries that's gone through here, even with what I'm preaching today. I've been feeling to go this way for a while, and just to watch it lean right in the same direction. And that's not by chance. That's not a coincidence. That's just not, well, you plug in quotes and scriptures a certain way. No, brother, sister, that's the way Almighty God has so decreed to speak to us. And to make things to where you sit there and scratch and say, wow, how did he know to say that? And where did he get that one? And things, why? It's God showing you. That's him speaking to you, brother, sister. Amen. And we've been talking, as Brother Johnny actually led a quote, which was the main context of his sermon here Sunday, and I was going to use the same one. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and use the same one. So we'll be reading that again. Some of you here Sunday might have a double hash, but I'll tell you what, anymore, you can say it 100 times. I still love it.
Amen.
It don't get old to me. It don't get old to me to hear I'm saved every day.
Amen.
I want to hear it again. I want to wake up tomorrow and hear again I'm saved. I've been redeemed. I want to hear from God Almighty every day, I love you. Isn't that right? You can't exhaust the word to a Christian, and that's where we've started to miss the mark. We've tried to force people to love the word. And if they don't love the word, you're done wasting your time there, brother, sister. And this is what I'm trying to get at, as we'll read here in a little bit. We're getting into a season of harvest. I believe God has started the harvest since the seals were open. I believe the world doesn't have a clue what's going on, but we do. We're privileged people. God has given us prophetic insight into what's going on, what's really going on in the world, brother, sister. It's not Trump and Hillary and all these things running. It's not Russia. It's not even Israel and the natural, brother, sister. God is orchestrating His plan from eternity in the spiritual realm right now. He's setting up the kingdom that will be established forever. And He's coming to the climax of harvest. And harvest is a season, brother, sister. Everybody wants it to be just one event. Too many denominations and too many people in the message. That's why they're missing the whole idea of the rapture. That's why the rapture sermon makes no sense to them. Because they believe it's just, boom, here it is, and it's over. When all you're doing is seeing the last part of the whole thing. You missed the whole picture of what was going on. You don't understand. And you can, all you have to do, God is so simple, you just go outside and you can watch it happen. When it comes to harvest time, and it's the same with a birth or anything else, there is a general a period of time where you can say it's going to be between here and here. But where it's exactly going to happen, you don't know. That's right. And the prophet of God, or Jesus Himself actually, gave us the perfect sign. He says, watch Israel. He says, when you see the fig leaf begin to put forth its buds, know that summer's nigh. It's the same when you watch Israel become a nation again. He said, that generation will not pass until all things be fulfilled. So we're living in that generation, brother, sister, where it is the harvest time. And I do, with all my heart, believe that souls have come to their place of adoption, to where God has taken them off this earth. People don't like that. They say, well, that was only for the prophet, but you show me one time he said it was only for him. You show me one time. I can show you 100 where he said it the other way. Whereas for every believer that's got the Holy Ghost, not only could you come to that place, but you are predestinated, ordained to be in the same spot that the prophet of God came to. Hallelujah. He said, you're watching the waves she spread before you. And too many people, again, they made it that man standing there. He didn't never said that. He said it's the manifestation of the Son of Man. It's the presence of Jesus Christ. It's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost really does to the seed of God. When it begins to push out that life, you can literally see Jesus Christ again. He's not dead, He's alive. And throughout all the ages, we understand that now that we've got the message, now that the seals are open, we can trace the life of God all the way back. We can see that it was in Luther. We can see that it's in Wesley. We can see all the way back to Paul, all the way back to Moses, David. You can go back and see the life all the way back to Adam. Which the Bible is careful to note was the Son of God. That's right. So we know where it all came from, brother, sister. But the whole time that these seeds were, even John here, he says, behold, be patient therefore, brethren. Because why? This first part here, he was admonishing the rich. and say, you're putting too much stock in this life. And why was he saying that to them? Is because, not just because they had riches, but if you read what they were doing, he says the hire comes and you're sitting there bringing them under pressure, you're making them miserable, and yet the Lord now hears that cry.
Amen.
You've been making money the wrong way. You've been getting, he says, woe unto you because you've heaped up things for the day of judgment. Because the God that knows the secrets of the heart, you might look just as pure as a lily, just as much caring as you can with your works, as much as possible. But God knows if you really mean that in your heart or not.
Amen.
He sure does. He looked at a bunch of people, and Jesus did, when they put in thousands, who knows, millions of dollars worth into the offering, didn't move the Savior a bit. But a little widow woman came up. And in an honest and pure heart said, Lord, I want to give, but it's a little embarrassing, but this is all I got. Lord, will you take it? And she went in there and put two mites in faith and said, Lord, I do this because I respect you, Lord. And Jesus said, she's put in more than any of the rest of them. Why? God doesn't weigh money. He weighs the hearts. Brother, sister, I don't care how much you have. I don't care how much time, how much money. But can you put your heart behind it?
Amen.
It'll be accepted before God more than any of those things. Says, you've condemned and killed the just. The just doesn't even resist you. You've stole their money. You've stole their houses. You've reaped up judgment against yourselves for the end time. But unto that, he says, brethren, look, be patient. It's rough. It's hard. Sure, you want to blast it from pillar to post, but be patient. Because God is not allowing this, or God is allowing this to happen. It's not, he's not forcing it. It's happening because it's in his predestinated plan, brother, sister. It has to be here in this time to make the church do what it's supposed to. God ain't interested in the nations of this earth besides what he could use. Everybody thinks he cares what the devil's doing. He don't care about the devil. He just uses the devil.
Amen.
Devil's got one purpose, to make you the son of God you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen. God knew that there would be a fall. God planned for them to be a fall. We understand these things. There's nothing out of cater, brother, sister. He predestinated these things so. Why? Because he wanted to show himself, brother, sister. He wanted you to know who he is. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I know him by name. I know where he lives. I know where he's been. I know where he's going. And I know where he came from. And I plan on being there forever.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now that we had a good time, let's bring it down to what James is telling us here. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren. That means you got to wait. That means you've got to recognize that though you understand where we're at time, it's not just going to be like that and done and over. This has been a process that God has dealt with. He's fashioned it with his hands for 6,000 years now, brother, sister. And if he can be that patient to get his fruits, why can't we wait around until he's ready? Hallelujah. Everybody wanting to come in the Lord to come. I don't know if you really do or not. You sure living comfortable in sin. I don't think you really want it to come yet. You might like the things of this world a little too much to want the coming of the Lord. Brother, sister, if you're not right with God, the last thing you want is the coming of the Lord. That's right. We should be checking up, brother, sister. We should be knowing that we know that we know that we're right with God. That's right. And we've got so many things. I was even talking to Dad here recently, and I've noticed the number one thing for us here in America, and this is my opinion, it could be, you could think something different, but the worst thing we have is just distraction. Just distraction, brother, sister. Sure, we've got things, we've got faults, we have attitudes, we've got, and the Lord's working on everyone that's in this room. But there ain't a person in here who doesn't deal with being distracted. Like I said, it could be politics, it could be sports, it could be fashion, it could be just pleasures of the world, new movies coming out, things like that. And everything, the devil's got such an arsenal now. He knows every one of your buttons. He knows every one of your flesh's likes and dislikes and what to keep you. He knows where to pull you, he knows what time to let you go to Walmart. He knows what station to come on right when you get there. He knows the people to show up that just get right under your skin, brothers and sisters. He just knows how to do these things. But see, you've got to learn that you're not the overcomer, but the overcomer is already in you, brother, sister. And the same God that defeated the devil all the way from hell to the top, brother, sister. He said all things were subject unto him. He took the keys from the enemy, the key of death, the only thing he had left. He went there and knocked him right in the face and said, give me those. Look, the Lord, he's the most humble being there ever would be, ever could be, but you don't push him around. So that's why we roll up our sleeves and throw our fists. That ain't how he fought, brother, sister. How did he fight? He used the word. And when he used the word, the devil didn't have a chance. You and me have been through trials. Sure, we've been through things, but I don't remember ever being led of by the Spirit to go out in the desert for 40 days and not eat or drink. And then have the devil come tempt me. All right? And you know what? The same word we used to defeat him, that's all it took. And he whipped him so bad, he scurried on out and said, I'm leaving him alone for a while. I can't wait for the Christians here in this room, not in Africa, not in, they're believers all over this world. There's believers here tonight where the devil wakes up and says, oh no, they're going to believe today. And I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to come try to discourage them, and they're just going to use that word. It's just going to irritate me as no end. I don't even know how they're going to. I'm going to go and try to get their children wild up, and they're just going to cast me out in Jesus' name again. I'm just so sick and tired. But see, what's the problem? Don't make it a joke, brother, sister. Make it a reality that this is where I'm supposed to live. I'm supposed to be whipping devils. I'm supposed to be making a mockery out of sin and showing them how big of a loser he is. We always see, I said a little bit about how the devil raises deceptions, but I got no time to give glory to the devil how good he is at deceiving. Because as good as he is at deceiving, he ain't never beat the Holy Ghost one time. Hallelujah. James says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, until we receive the early and latter rain. And I believe that those things are happening, brother, sister, all around us. The whole harvest is coming to fruition. But if you watch, when it's time to harvest, brother, sister, there's two main things that happen. There's a time of gathering the majority of it. That's right, and that's when you would send a combine through. And you just go and just get it all. But there's something that happens after that. If he's a real steward and he really wants to get all his money's worth, he's going to go find those that fell on the ground. He's going to go glean the fields. And you know what the thing of it is? He's going to put more effort than he ever did before. And to the kernel, it looks like the least amount of fruits coming out of it. When you go and you pick out of a field, you know, they we read about the 11th hour worker, but for some reason we don't apply it to us. We think, oh, there's thousands of saves in the book of Acts. You know, Brother Branham had these revivals, and we've already had a prophet tell us it ain't going to be like that no more. That's right. You're not going to be bringing sweeping souls in. It's just not going to happen. Now, why is that? It's because the harvest has gone through. We've had the reapers go. But look, that don't mean we're done, because why are we still here? That means we just got to look a little harder, pray a little longer, listen a little more, endure a little bit more hardship. Got to go through 20 bushels to find one. Well, 10 years ago, I didn't have to worry about that. 20 years ago, man, I could pray like nothing else. Well, look, we're further down the road. There's only so much fruit left, and there's a predestinated amount, and God will let us waddle around, waste our time, until we get every one of them. That's right. He has long patience for it. He don't care how much you cry out. If there's a soul that needs saved, we're all sitting here until we get it. Glory to God. Instead of sitting here whining, oh, Lord, come. That ain't what John was saying. He was saying, come, bring the victory, Lord, because we believe it. We're saying, come to the rivers of living water, because this is the overcoming power. Come, you weary soul, right here to the word. It'll send you to a rapture faster than anything else you could come up with. Hallelujah. It's at the time where it looks like, how could you go on any further? It's at the time where it looks like there's no hope. That's the time of greatest reward, brother, sister. Hallelujah. There's plenty of parables you could go through. You know, there was the prodigal son and his brother. And he was gone. He was dead. As far as the father knew, it was over. But then he came back. And he killed the fatted calf. Isn't that right? He gave a big supper. But there was still that one that sat there and whined about it. There was still that one who was more concerned with his religion than he was with souls that were dying in sin. Sure. Hallelujah. Too many voices in our message. Even trying to build up another message denomination. We just sit here and look at it and say how great we are. Sure. Amen. Ain't a lick of care for a soul in this world. Oh, they're all servants. See, they're all dead. Well, if you really believe that, then we should not be here. Can I say that again? If you don't believe there's any more souls to find, then that means the door of grace has been shut and we should be out of here in no time. If you can't say, you got to say one, you got to say the other, brother, sister. It's the same with these people that want to take quotes. Brother Branham said about that if there would be another man rise after him. You can look it up. If you want to isolate, you can find it. I'll tell you, they're there. But if you actually look at what he says, this ministry looks a lot like Malachi 4, but it isn't. There'll be another man rise over after me. So you got a choice here. Either Brother Branham was Malachi 4 and that's the last one, or he wasn't Malachi 4 and we're still waiting on it. You can't. And then the same people will say, no, we believe Brother Branham was Malachi 4, but there was another voice to come on after that. You can't say that. You're missing the word. There's no promise of that, brother, sister. That was the final voice to the final age. And look, brother, sister, you say, well, what about us? We are that voice, brother, sister. We're the voice. We're not coming up with a new message. We're not finding a new doctrine. Somebody help me today. We are saying the same voice that has shouted out of eternity. Say, those are the overcomers. Those are the ones that will stay with the word. Those are the ones that were predestinated from the foundation of the world, and the devil don't know a thing to do to stop it. I've let him do everything he wanted. I let him open the river Euphrates and let him just swerve right down all their complexes. Brought all them people they don't like. Spend it right down there, had them say the wrong comments under the wrong ministries. I just blast them whenever I could, and they still come back to the word.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
It's not time to build up religion. It's time to recognize that what we have is the truth, brother, sister. It's life. It's eternal life. I think we've all just pinching ourselves. Lord, help me, because it's so easy for the flesh to just divert you this way. As I said, it's not even necessarily sin I'm talking about. Things that we would know are inherently evil. It's the unbelief of just doubting where we are in time anymore. Doubting that there really is a hope somewhere else. There isn't. There's one hope, and that's in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We're at a day of gleaning, brother, sister, but don't act like that don't mean there ain't something to do. If anything, that means there's more to do now than ever before. Amen. You'll have to witness 1,000 times to find one person to listen to you. Hallelujah. But you know what? If you only witness 900 times, you're going to miss the one you're supposed to be witnessing to. And ain't going to be one of these half-saved people. That's the only ones we like to witness to, don't we? The ones that already go to church and read their Bibles, and we say, oh man, look at that. Those who love the word. Oh really? Then why didn't God send them the right one? So you're never going to usurp the predestination of God, brother, sister. And we should relish in that with all of our hearts. That Lord, when the Catholic could have got a hold of me, when the Methodist could have got a hold of me, when the Baptist, when the First Church of God, wherever you came from, and for some reason it didn't captivate you, it didn't lock you in, and you've watched hundreds go right in there and just right to pigs or sheep to a slaughter, just walk right in. Something you said, get out of here. Something you said, we're going to die, I better leave. That's right. And then you recognize, you looked over your shoulder and you saw a man standing with a staff in his hand and said, you're a sheep between one of these goats, get out of here, let's go. Hallelujah. Where did he bring you? He brought you to green pastures. Hallelujah. He brought you to a place where you can keep feeding here on the word of the body of the Son of God. Still here, the Son of Man, the word of God, fresh. Every morning, brother, sister. Said there'd be a famine in the land for the hearing of the word of God. And that's more true now than it ever was. But brother, sister, they're supposed to be looking for you. You're supposed to be the word of God they're looking for. You're not part of the famine. You're the only part of lot of food that's left. I can't stay. Oh, we're in a famine. We're in a dry time. And we're in a gleaning time. What are you talking about? That's the most glorious time there is. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to prove real quick here, if you haven't already, whether you're really a believer or not. That's right. And for the believer, that's glorious. I love the idea of never having a passing thought that, you know, you're servant seed, you're lost. But to the point where, what are you talking about? I have to be saved. You know? And we have a faith. You understand what I'm saying. The devil still tempts us. I believe I'm saved with all my heart. Don't get me wrong. It don't matter what I do. People don't like that doctrine, but it don't matter what I do. God has saved me by His grace. I'm going to be there. I've received the Holy Ghost by grace, and I'm going into rapture by grace. I ain't going to change the program because nothing else ever worked for me. I tried church, I tried works, I tried making sin okay. None of that worked, but grace did. Grace did great. Hallelujah. Just accept it. Lord, I'm just going to accept the way you laid it out right here, and I'm just going to wait until you give it. He gives it. You still wanting the Holy Ghost? Well, the problem is you're going at it the wrong way, because you can't want the Holy Ghost without getting it. According to the Bible, he says, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Hallelujah. We get quiet too much on that because too many people have walked around this wheel of unbelief for 20 years and can never seem to actually get it, when really they know there's something in their life that they just keep dodging.
Amen.
Some people say, I don't have to go to church. They keep trying to dodge that, wonder why God won't come meet them. Come on. Some women, I can wear whatever I want. I can do whatever I want with my hair. Some men, I don't need to get rid of no TV. I can still love the thing. It's okay to do a little bit. No, it ain't. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Rich young ruler beat all of us in works. His list, I wish I could say I did. I didn't. All right. Did I always honor my father and mother? No, sir. Amen. Come on. Help me out. All those other things, stole, never lied, never cheated, never steal, things like that. He could say, I have done all these things from my youth.
That's right.
So there goes that idea of us being saved that way. And don't you think you're going to go in a rapture that way? You'll never get there if you tried to do that, brother, sister. You need to do what the Bible is saying here. Be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Know that God will have a mature harvest.
Amen.
And that I'm part of it.
Amen.
I'm part of it. So instead of saying, well, the bride's going to come to maturity, I got to sit here. I have to come to maturity.
Amen.
There's no other way to go. How could God give me the Holy Ghost and give me eternal life just to not let me fulfill the word that I'm supposed to in this day? It doesn't make any sense, brother, sister. That's why we had a voice tell us the true evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost is receiving the word for your day.
Amen.
Because that'll bring us to that statue of a perfect man as sure as there's a sun rising, as sure as there's a moon falling, brother, sister. You have to become what you always were.
Amen.
You can't be a hypocrite forever, brother, sister. That's right. So why don't I just quit trying to be a sinner and just be a saint?
Amen.
It's what I am anyways. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Anybody that's had any contact with, even you, that when we were in the world, you couldn't fit in. You crazy? You're always that one they looked at and said, man, come on, man. You know you don't really need to be. Come on, get out of here. No, man, I'm one of the boys. No, you ain't. Quit fibbing, you know. And you thought the whole time, why can't I just fit in? Aren't you glad you didn't? That fits into a picture that's about to burn here soon. I want to fit into one that's in the mind of God. Amen. Right when it looks like, and this is a quote Brother John picked up on Sunday. I want to read it now. When it looks like everything's falling, everything's failing, brother, sister, recognize we're just in the gleaning time. It's to distract those who don't want to work for the kingdom now. I ain't just talking working natural. I'm talking for the kingdom. We can find plenty of people that will, okay. No, you can't. Never mind. You can't find paying people in this world that'll work in general. But I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, because there's plenty of here that do that. We're talking about working for the kingdom.
Right.
Work for the kingdom. I'm sorry. You want to punch in, punch out. You got the wrong job.
Amen.
This ain't one of them kind of jobs. This is one you on call all the time.
Amen.
Morning, noon, night, and day. Oh, that's just for ministers, ready in season, out of season. Oh, really? Really? I wonder how many miracles have happened in the middle of the night, brothers. Only when the pastor does it. I don't believe that for a bit, brother, sister. And that's what's keeping it from happening. That's right. How many times does the Holy Spirit try to move on somebody and they wait for somebody else to do it, and then it don't happen, and then everybody gets discouraged? Brother, sister, we need to do what we're called to do.
Amen.
And do it with all of our hearts. Listen now. Evening Messenger, 1963. Notice, when the message is rejected by the people and the messenger seems to be completely defeated, he can't get another door, he can't get a place like our Lord was. Remember, he was healing the sick, the young prophet. Oh my, he's a great fellow. Hello, Rabbi, how you doing? But one day he sat down and began to tell them the truth. He found favor with the church, the people, thousands followed him. He had 70 ministers around him besides the 12. But one day, and look, let me just stop right there. That looked like he was being successful. Here come this Galilean prophet, this rabbi, come out of there and look at the impact he's had. He's got thousands coming out of Judaism, as we understand. He's got his 12 disciples, his apostles. He's got a whole ministry group. He looks very successful, but Jesus recognized this isn't the success I'm looking for. We're not getting to souls. We're just getting to flesh, to denominational idea. Come on now.
Yes,
and he had no glory in any of that. He was never happy about it. He even looked at him and said, there's 12 of you here, and one of you is a devil.
He
said, but you know, I'll never lose a one. Don't worry. Here in my hand. Amen.
Amen.
He never gloried in any of this. And as far as we would be concerned, too many times, that's how we judge ministries, brother, sister, whether they're successful or not successful. I don't care if it brings in one or 100. We need every one of them to bring in.
Amen.
That's right. We got to get everyone we can back to the kingdom of God. The point is, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Exactly.
Amen. The real vindication of a ministry is, does he stay with the word?
Amen.
That's right. You can't make people believe it. You can't make them not believe it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. Aren't you glad? There's plenty of voices trying to get me not to believe this. I'm glad they never could do anything about it. I'm glad I still got voices that tell me to believe it. Amen. All right. But one day, after he had turned the bread or multiplied the loaves to prove that he was God, because only God rained the bread out of heaven. Yeah, see, he multiplied the loaves, and immediately after that, he had walked on the water, performed miracles, and done the things that he had done to prove that he was. And then when he did, he sat down and began to strictly tell the people. The people turned away. The 70 said, oh, who can hear this? That's a hard saying. You tear down what we really thought was something else. Now, who are you to tell us these things? And they walked away. Then Jesus turned to his little group, like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Sodom, says, you want to go to? Then Peter said those great words, Lord, where would we go? God help us. Notice when the message is rejected and the messenger seems to be defeated, that's when God steps on the scene. His message is over. Noah preached in the door of his ark for 120 years. Till when finally they laughed him to scorn. Noah stepped in the ark thinking it would just be all right. God closed the door. And the people hung around to see what was going to happen. 7 days he sat there, sweated out. And on the seventh day, the rain came. In the time where it looked like, I'm sure Noah, for those first, who knows how many years, first 100 years, had a very successful ministry. He had many people that would come and help on the ark maybe. Help build the church, help do these things. But then it came to the time where it said, now we really got to believe this. Where people are starting to come up with doctrines why it can't rain. They're starting to come up with doctrines why it's not right. And it began to deter people. And it's, well, did those men really fall off the bridge because this atheist over here said that they didn't? Hope you understood the context there. Oh, these things didn't happen because some news article said it didn't happen. Really? Let them do a news article on you one time and maybe you'll realize the facts really behind the news. That's right. I remember the one time that when that whole Collins thing happened there in Jeffersonville and they had the news come out and do a report. That was the most bogus, unrespected. I couldn't stand that report. Had no validity to it whatsoever. And they went out and found somebody who would say things that made it sound like we believe Brother Bram's coming back. Like actually coming up and that people really believe that there at the tabernacle. I'm sure there are people that believe that, but that's not what Brother Branham said.
Right.
I loved how they finished it because they just called their bluff. He said, what do you mean? They listened to things that were 50 years ago. They don't update it at all? No, we don't update it at all, because if you have to update it, that means it wasn't true. Glory to God. I don't need a new Bible. I don't need a new message. I've got the perfect interpretation of the Word. It's good from time to eternity, brother, sister. And when I cross over, I'm still going to be believing it. I don't need to update it. I'm so happy I got it. Amen. Every minister, brother, it comes to where it looks like it's going to fall. There's so many examples of Daniel. Daniel looked like he was successful before, and now he's about to give up his job because he keeps praying. He was the third ruler in the kingdom, brother, sister. He was a man of power and of authority, was well respected, to where even the king, when he knew he had to bring judgment, didn't want to do it. There was something about this man that these people cherished, but Daniel cherished something so much more than that.
Yes.
It came to the season where God wanted his prophet to show what it really meant to be a son of God.
Amen.
So what had to happen? Things had to fall away. And he had to get put to the test where he said, are you still going to pray, Daniel, even when they're going to kill you for it? I'm tired. We might not say that, brother, sister, but we're getting to the place where we kind of believe this separation of church and state thing. Can I say that again? We're starting to believe that, oh, we're not, you know, like I'm a school teacher. Some people say those things in the message too. Oh, how do you keep that separate there? I said, what are you talking about? This is who I am.
Amen.
You're trying to make me separate me from me? I am the Word, brother, sister. You're the Word if you've been born again. That's what I am. So wherever I am, I was told to preach the gospel. And that is what's going to happen. I don't care what legislation they pass. That's what's going to happen. And if you need help for that, Daniel was your prime example. They passed it. It said he knew it was passed. He knew they were watching. He knew the consequences. And he threw them open so fast, they probably broke on and they hit the walls. And he got down and prayed just the same as he did any other day. That's what's happened to the message, brother, sister, is we have tried to update it for 2015 and then wonder why it don't work. You don't need to update it. Keep doing what we were always doing. It'll keep working like it always worked, brother, sister. Well, we need revival. How about you just pray like you used to? Amen. I want to hear from God. How about you just read your Bible like you used to? How about instead of flipping like this, we start flipping this way again? And that's got into ministers too, brother, sister. I've seen it. I've been a factor of it. Can I say, look, I'm human too. I know what it's all about. That's why I preach on it. Because I know it affects every single person that's in this room. Not drinking, not drugs, hopefully not none of them things of the world, but just pure distraction. Away. What does it do? The second the devil gets you over there, he's going to start working on your thinking. And before you know it, you go, well, maybe it ain't all that bad. Maybe this world does really have a chance. Maybe we do elect the right God. It'll change things. And maybe I am being a little fanatical in this. And maybe the coming Lord isn't just nigh on hand. Let's read a scripture to show you what's the problem with that. Luke 12. I got a little lengthy reading here. I hope that's all right tonight. Thank you, brothers, sisters. Luke 12. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. Luke 12. Let's go down to 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Before I go on, I just want us to recognize we are not forcing God to give us the kingdom. God wants to give us the kingdom, brother, sister. He wants you to be partakers of it. When Daniel saw the vision of the stone coming down and destroying the kings of this world, he asked for the interpretation of it, and he said, the saints will come and destroy that kingdom. Why? He wants you to be part of what he's doing. God don't want to be way over here and you way over here. His whole goal was to bring us right together. He was called Elohim, but then he became Jehovah. God and his family. Hallelujah. It's his good pleasure. We're not even twisting his arm, brother, sister. We're not tricking him into it. He wants to do it. Once we recognize that, I think it'll take all the pressure off. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. It's so hard to be an overcomer. No way. He wants to give me the kingdom. What am I doing here walling around in this? Amen. And there's the problem right there. Just in case you're wondering, your heart's just in the wrong thing. If you put your heart on heavenly things, you'll recognize what you have, and you won't care about your finances and your house and your cars. Oh, I don't know. Maybe you still do. Look how quiet that got. Look, those are idols, brother, sister.
Yes.
And I understand. I don't like not being able to pay bills and things like that. I understand there's a responsibility there as a Christian to provide for your own. But look, don't tell me you can provide spiritually and God will take care of the natural. I got to say that one again. That's why we miss it. We don't provide for the supernatural and then wonder why the natural ain't working out. Because you put all your effort into that. And he says, look, aren't sparrows sold for so many farthings and things? Aren't you working much more than many sparrows? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Amen. See, we got to put our whole heart into that and say, Lord, I believe that with all that's in me. I'm not going to stop serving the Lord because things are getting tough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Everybody's running out of money and time. Well, if you just put it in the kingdom, you'd have plenty of money and time.
Amen.
And if you let God reveal it to you, he can show you where you're wasting all your money and time on things of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't tell me God's a liar and you're righteous. That ain't true. Let every man be a liar. God's word be true.
Amen.
All right, let me keep reading. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to me and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. And we all know that. But look what happens right after that. And I just caught this here recently. Look who asked him. He said, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all?" He's saying, wait a minute, you're saying that nobody's going to know what you're coming. No, we need to be ready. But are you really saying that to us? I mean, we're your disciples. I mean, come on, how can we not be ready? Right. Aren't you just saying that out there? And anytime some spirit, and I'm going to call it what it is, some devil comes and tells you that the word don't apply to you as an individual, you need to recognize that ain't the voice of God. Right. Too many of us got that good old, I call it pitchfork religion. Man, that was some good word for them. Oh, that rebuke. Oh, double shovel for Brother Dan today. We know he needs to get ready. He needs to be watching. I could tell he ain't watching. Well, you're so busy looking at him, I doubt you're watching. I don't think anybody's worried about you, Brother Dan. We love you, brother. Hallelujah! Is this for all or is it even to us? Now keep reading. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household and give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart," it don't come out in the lips, it stays right in their heart. Why? You begin to watch the actions change all of a sudden. He begins to say in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming." And most people, as I said before, they won't say that out loud. But what shows that they don't believe the coming of the Lord is here is the way they're acting again. They're going back to what they used to do back in the world. They're backbiting, talking wrong. They used to, oh man, Christians used to be so careful about that. It says, "Oh my, it's just burning on my heart. I see that brother, he's doing something wrong." And you'd get down and actually pray about it. And finally the Holy Spirit come on you. They would come on that brother as well. You'd come together and God work it right out. Then what happened? Man, the Lord's delaying his coming. I got time for this. It'll be all right. So I'll spend a week telling everybody in church about what that guy's doing wrong. And then I'll make sure. Now I'll just paste it. I'll put it on my Facebook. I won't say no names now. I don't want nobody getting mad. And then you know what? The devil gets a hold of that. Oh, he sure does. He'll apply it to 100 people and make the damage so much worse than you ever could have yourself. What is that? It's a direct fruit that you don't believe the coming of the Lord is here. Let me finish that. He says, "My Lord delayeth his coming, and he shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. The Lord of that servant," which Lord? Our Lord, the Lord and Savior. We are his servants, aren't you not? It's that Lord, those servants, "will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will," uh-oh, "oh my, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to him and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Brother, sister, God help us to never be guilty of this, when we would cross over and we would see the lost man that we saw on the streets, the lost co-worker that we had, and he has to come up in the judgment and says, "Wait, you knew how to get saved? You knew how to get out of destruction and you didn't tell me?
Right, come on.
Why didn't you tell me? I would have had a chance. I could have said yes." And brother, sister, don't get so predestinated we don't do nothing for the kingdom. We are part of the predestination of God. Our free moral agency to choose is integrated into the predestination of God.
Amen.
That God predestinates us to even tonight to get convicted, to arouse you up, to actually be the Christian you're supposed to be, to get the job done.
Amen.
That's predestinated of God. Don't resist it. Say, "Lord, I accept it."
Right.
I say the same, brothers and sisters, many times where I get so self-centered that I just get so, you just get worked up in your own life, your own day, what you got to get done. All of a sudden, I don't want to witness today because it's work. And what do? We know we've been gleaning for a while and you've worked hard before and got no fruit out of it because there was nothing left there. And you say, "What's the point?" Not recognizing that you need to keep working until Jesus comes.
Because the time where you think it's over, that's the time where the glory of God finally shines forth, brother, sister. It was a day when David looked like his kingdom was over. His son had riled up the whole army to come against him. He was running for his life. What began to happen? We began to see the plan of redemption come through that man. The most glorious sign. I'm sure that was the time he penned some of the greatest psalms that we're still using today. Was at his deepest of hours. He thought he was crying out to God. He didn't recognize he was writing the word of God that would encourage us here thousands of years later.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, brother, sister. At the time of worst darkness is a time of greatest light. And we could go on and on and on. I'm just, Jesus Christ Himself. As we read there, He had His ministers. I'm done there in the Scriptures. He had His ministers. He watched them walk away. He said, I've got 12 disciples. He said, one's your devil. He said, where are we going to go? And they tried to follow Him for a while, but then when it got tough, they were all gone too. And don't act so self-righteous you don't believe you'd have done the same. You'd have done the same thing. There's only one thing that would have kept the disciples with Jesus, and that was the Holy Ghost. And at the time where it looked like this young rabbi had lost everything, he had spent so much time and effort, 3.5 years ministry, was going down the tube so fast. At that time, he was accomplishing the greatest event that ever happened on the earth, brother, sister. Don't get discouraged now. Encourage yourself. What helped the Son of God be encouraged? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him. He recognized it was harvest time. And sure, it looks like we're almost done, but we've got to finish. We can't just get... He couldn't just become the Son of God and just show Him who He was. He had to finish redemption. He had to get on. He had to actually get on the cross. He couldn't just be willing. He had to do it. And we can't just be willing to be the bride. We've got to actually become it, brother, sister.
Amen.
To where your mind, your heart, your soul, you know that you're part of the kingdom of God. And that you've got a mission. You've got a plan. He went to Calvary. He knew He would endure such grief as no man has ever endured. But He knew that joy came in the morning.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes, it's hard, brother, sister, to keep testifying. It's hard to keep getting made fun of. It's hard to keep being tired because you don't get no sleep because you'd rather pray than sleep. I don't know. Does anybody still do that? Don't lose your vision now, brother, sister. This is the time. This is adoption time, brother, sister. This is a time where God puts you on full display.
Sure.
Don't stop one step short of the cross. Go to your goal and finish the race.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Branham was asked this question. And I'll close on this. It's question and answers 1963. And this is actually on the seal. So this is right after the sixth seal. It says, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Sure. That's what's going on right now, see? The bride of Christ, certainly, it is the message of the hour, see? The bride of Christ. I want to keep reading, but I got to stop there. I believe the message of the hour. I've got tapes in my house. I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. You show me where he said that's the message of the hour. But I can show you here where he says, the bride, the ministry of the bride is the message of this hour. That God has so equipped the people with His Word that they can be the literal reflection of Christ. Just as a woman is a perfect wife is a perfect reflection of a perfect husband, so is this bride. Deemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, there was a Son of God. Sure, we could believe that. He was virgin born. He was born without sin and He overcome. But that blood produced such a power that God could take sin wretched vessels like us and that blood could get into our life and so cleanse it and so anoint it with His power to where the same God could turn around His back and still discern hearts from behind Him.
Exactly.
He could still heal the sick. He could still raise the dead. Hallelujah, you can still create things out of nothing. How many believes that? It's the ministry of the hour, brother, sister. Now let me keep reading. He says, sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Is that right? That's the bride of Christ, sure. She's got a ministry, great ministry. It's the ministry of the hour. It'll be so humble. Now remember, how many was here when last Sunday? See, remember what I preached on? Humility. Oh, don't forget that. I'm going to stop a minute to warn that again. Remember, when God predicts anything great to happen, the people are looking so far away by their wisdom till they miss what happens. And don't you tell me, brother, sister, that ain't happening in our message. You know why I know it's happening? Because all of a sudden people are beating each other again. All of a sudden they're eating and drinking and being merry and not praying and fasting no more. That's what he said there. He said, my Lord delays his coming. I'll just eat, drink. Don't need to be on the job no more. I'll leave that for the path. I'll leave that for somebody else. No, a faithful servant says he could be here in 5 minutes. I need to be busy. He could be in 50 years. I don't care. I'm going to be at the post.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll be so humble. Let me keep reading. It says, humility, don't forget, I'm going to stop a minute to warn that. Remember, when God predicts anything great to happen, the people are looking so far away by their wisdom till they miss what happens. When God says anything is great, the world laughs at it. That bunch of ignoramuses, that's right. But when the great world and the great high church say, boy, that's glorious, God says a bunch of ignoramuses. See, you have to watch. I don't mean it maybe that way exactly, but that's the way it is. Let me skip down a little bit. And he was talking about when the Jews thought or believed that how the Messiah and his forerunner would come. He says they was expecting God to crank, to take the crank and turn it on and bring the corridor down and say, come on down, you great forerunner of my Messiah. And then as soon as he's gone, they'd pull it back up and as soon as he's over, they crank it down again and put it right down there beside the seminary and say, all right, my beloved son, walk down and tell him, see, oh my, look, when he come by, whatever happened, here come a man that knowed none of their schools, didn't even have a fellowship card. Oh, didn't have no credentials. No, nobody ever knowed he was ever to a school a day in his life. He couldn't even tell it by his talking. He didn't even talk in terms of Ecclesiastics. He talked about serpents and axes and wilderness and things like that, trees. He talked not in terms of ecclesiastical set of the day or this day or of any day. God has never dealt in that, brother, sister. The wisdom that we have, as the Bible says, is first peaceable and then loving and kind. Why? Because it's not our intellect. It is literally the mind of God has been placed in us. And the mind of God came to a man and said, separate yourself, go out to the wilderness at 9 years old. Come back when I tell you to. I wonder who had faith for that. Well, he did. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man who got his name from the angel of the Lord. Uh-huh. A man who had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Yep. Knew how to listen to God. And the Word said he'd tear down mountains and raise valleys and make crooked places straight and all these things. And what did he do? Here come a guy wearing goat's hair and eating bugs and honey. Saying, repent, because the kingdom of God has come. Right. The Bible was careful to note that John never did a miracle either. You had, look, we think it's hard to believe our forerunner. It'd been a lot harder to believe that forerunner than the one we had. We had a man that was just like Elijah, just like John the Baptist was. But there was plenty of signs done by that man. We didn't have to believe just on his word alone, but we could believe the word because of how much was happening around it, brother, sister. Why? God has so vindicated this message in this day because this is the final time he's going to demonstrate his word to this world. And he was making sure it would not be tinkered with, brother, sister. Why do you think they came up with technology to record? There's one reason we record things. That was for this prophet to be recorded.
Amen.
There's one reason we have internet, brother, sister. It's so we could get it out to all the world.
Amen.
That's what it's for. I don't care what the devil uses it for. That's not what it's there for. It's there for the kingdom of God's purposes.
Amen.
In the days of Jesus, Rome went and made roads. They had the Grecian language. It was all for one purpose.
That's right.
That God could spread his word. He made them all speak Greek so he could write the Bible in one language. Why do you think all the world has to learn English now? It ain't because we're America and we got big muscles, brother, sister. They could bomb us tomorrow and they know it. And we're becoming such a bunch of, I don't know what else, bunch of sissy boy pansies that they could take us over tonight. All I have to do is turn electricity off. People sell away everything. They sure would. Hallelujah. And if we didn't have the credentials of the word to know what they're doing that for, we might have done it too. But I ain't leaving this word for nothing. That's right. If that all happens, I'll just be more glorious because I know it's just that much closer. That's right. Can't go on too much longer. I'm sitting here dying, Lord. You got to come get me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read this last quote. How many believes this word today?
Yes.
It's a season of harvest, brother, sister. This is the whole point. That's what we're living in right now. It says, predestined, Christ's mission God revealed 1963. And if you've read the sermon, you've heard this probably 100 times. Predestinated, there's the mystery. He, before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see his great mystery, that he chose the bride. Knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall and that would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Amen. Predestinated to be adopted as the children of Jesus Christ. Sure. Hallelujah. Predestinated the church to that great, great, glorious stand. Brother, sister, as James said, let us admonish what we've heard from the prophets of what it means. We don't relish in anyone until they endured the trial. Amen. Nobody would have known a thing about Job if he would have just caved in under the pressure and began to curse God. God won't even record that down. But what gives us encouragement is that he endured. And he says, don't forget the end of the Lord, that he's gracious and merciful and of much pity. Look, we have so much more. See, Job knew God from a distance, brother, sister. And he even said, I cry out that I could go to his house and I could talk to him. But we've had it the exact opposite, where he's knocked on every door and every window, talked to us at every opportunity. And we still go, oh, Lord, what do you want? What do you mean? He's told us 1,000 times, brother, amen, sister. And what has he been telling us? I want you. I don't want your works. I don't want your time. I want you. I want your heart. I want your soul. And there's a bride on this earth who says, I do.
I do.
I do. Let's stand together. Let's just worship him and say, Lord, I do. I do. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. I believe it's time for the sons of God to be manifested, Lord. And I believe I'm one of them. I believe I'm a daughter of God. I believe I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just any day now. I want to do E-flat today, Dad. Hallelujah. 579 if you don't know it. Just any day now. Oh, Lord is come. Saint of God, don't be distracted. Inside. Hallelujah.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me.
Oh, that's why he's coming. He's coming for you, brother, sister.
For
oh, glory to God. Yes, Lord.
Just any day now, his face I
believe it with all your heart, sing with all your soul.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me.
I trust that your heart's desire to see the Lord here. soon, very soon. Let my voice proclaim, though we'll see the husband here shortly. If you can't see the bride now, you'll never see it then. If you don't see him manifesting himself as a bride in this day, you won't see the husband that you want to see. You'll see a judge. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and eyes closed. And I'm not just talking to bride. In your brothers and sisters as well, you better see God in them. Don't get so critical to where you destroy your experience. But you've got to see God in your life. You've got to see, I'm a part of this bride, Lord. I know what I used to be. And something's come alive in me, Lord, to make me the Word. Not just anything, it makes me the Word, Lord. With every head bowed before Him, is there anyone say, Lord, clear my vision tonight. Take away my doubt. Take away my fear. Take away my confusion. God bless you, saints. Hallelujah. God sees each one. Say, Lord, I believe this with all my heart. I believe it's true. I'm not taking the Holy Ghost from you, brother, sister. I don't know. But I know I can't give it to you either. You've got to just accept it. You've got to believe it and accept it. It's that simple. God will come right there and fill you. You'll never be the same again. That's right. But Christians, don't get so dull of eyes now. Don't be like John there in prison. He had already announced the Messiah, called him out by name. He said, he's right there. Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world. And then he got into trials for a while. He got to where he was in prison. He began to get discouraged. And he sent some messengers, said, go ask that man. Is he really the one? Or do we look for another? What did Jesus send back? He didn't send him a self-help book. He didn't say, listen to these tapes. He says, tell him what happened. The lame were healed. The blind see. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. We don't even need messengers now. You've got a recruit, sister. You can go hear those things again. Don't let your eagle eyes get filled. Or does anyone say, Lord, apply ISAF to my experience. Get me back to where I know what it's like to really believe you with all my heart. And I feel myself short, but Lord, I've got the faith to say, wash me tonight, Lord. I've got faith to raise up and say, Father, I'm not leaving here the same. And by faith, I ask you to come to take that away, Lord. Take away my distraction and put my eyes back on what I'm looking for. To go home, to be with you, to accomplish the mission here until it's done. God bless you, saints. There's hands all over. Keep pressing and believing God with all your heart. Oh, glory to God. There's an atmosphere of faith now. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and praise Him when He touches you, brother, sister. Don't wait for the feeling. Just start doing it anyways. That's what you need to do. Some of you don't do the fight of faith. You wait for God to do it. He's waiting for you to believe it. Amen. Amen. He's waiting for you to confess it. Say, I'm not a doubter. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm not a skeptic. I'm not none of these things that I keep thinking I am. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God, and Satan, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I cast you out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you want the Holy Ghost, it's the best time to get it, brother, sister. That's right. If you want to fill in anew, this is the best time to get it right now. Amen. You might not be able to do this again. We don't know. Hallelujah. Don't pass the opportunity. Don't let the devil give you a bunch of doubt and cloud and everything else to where you leave out here still doubting and fretting like you did when you came in. Get the faith to rise above that. Hallelujah. And I want you to stay in the atmosphere of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I believe God's hearing your prayers right now. I do with all my heart. Don't get a natural expectation. That's where you fall short. Get a supernatural one. Well, Lord, I do not have to be this way no more. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Now, I do. I want to specifically ask. You stay there and have your altar call according to what you feel led to. But if there's those that have need of healing, that's what I want right now. Those that have a need of healing, would you come right now? You tell me everyone's here is healthy and happy. I'll trust it to you. For anything. Thank you, sis. Is there anyone else? Say, Lord, I thank you, sis. God knows. He knows He don't want you to leave that way. That's why He's having me wait. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else? Just any. Look, He healed them all. Healed all their first. I'm the Lord that heals all thine infirmities, brother, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stay right there, buddy. Now, what I want you to do, you that's out there as well, say, well, I don't know what their need is. I bet if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you'd already know it. That's right. Even if you don't, you say, well, I didn't get a rub. That's fine. What I want you to do is just lift that up to the Lord and say, Father, I believe with them. I believe they wouldn't come up here presuming. I believe with them. I don't even want them to say it, because too many times when we begin to say these things that the devil's done, it begins to bring cloud and doubt and fear, because we begin to acknowledge the devil too much. So what I want to do is take the need right up to the throne of God, where there's an atonement already made for it, to where the devil can't do nothing about it no more. And say, Lord, as a body of believers of faith, we believe in these needs, that these vessels are going to be totally healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe with all your heart. Let me lay hands on each one. Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, may be made totally whole for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, may this body be made completely whole. Satan, you've been defeated. You're exposed. Go walk in dry places in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Lord Jesus, bless this little boy. Lord, make his body well and happy. Lord, for your glory and praise, we commit it to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Believe it, buddy. Praise it. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Have his way in this situation and bring for peace and the understanding, Lord, and we'll put it all right where it needs to be, Lord. Lord, you have such a great wisdom. I know you do, and I believe this to be a Son of God. Nurture him by your Spirit, I pray. May be in the home of your will and praise, Lord. May be there, comforted by the Word of God and not things of the world. Grant it, Lord, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Don't drop down now. See, that's where you miss it. Keep raising up. Say, Lord, I believe that. I believe it. I don't even feel it, but I don't care, Satan. You're not getting any more praise out of me, devil. It don't hurt no more. I feel great. I'm not discouraged. I'm so encouraged. You ain't got nothing on me, Satan. Satan, you're nothing but a bluff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's how you keep having that supernatural expectation. Oh, Heavenly Father, may this body be made completely whole. Satan, you're defeated. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, keep believing. Keep believing. Don't let no doubt come in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Time or space, and pray of the Holy Ghost. Now send its hands upon them, Lord, and give us strength and guidance. Lord Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, may she know without a shadow of a doubt that she was touched by God now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Believe it with all your heart. Give him praise for it, brother, sister. Praise him for it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise him for saving you. Praise him for healing you. Hallelujah. Hands on my brother. I pray that the Holy Spirit will now place his hands on Brother Douglas. When you go there, Lord, and bring his body back to full health for another testimony of the grace of God in our brother's life. Thank you, Father. We agree together now in faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Father. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, we praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let the Holy Ghost have his preeminent brother, sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he's worthy of praise. Thank you. Oh, Lord. worship Him in the Spirit. Just give Him praise out of your heart without any reservation. Don't take a second thought. Just praise His name. Just lift Him up. Say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Glory. 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 Hallelujah.
Jesus,
we pray. Lord, Father, blessed be Thy holy name, dear Jesus.
Oh, I love
glory,
you, Jesus.
Glory to the Lamb. I praise You, Jesus.
Thank You, Father. Today, Lord.
Thank You, Father.
May the devil be defeated, Lord. May Your word be magnified in every life.
I give You everything, Jesus.
We come and know that You heard our prayers today.
You are my life, Lord.
May it bring fruit to Your name, Lord.
You are my life, Lord.
Oh, Father, according to Your word.
Thank You, blessed Jesus. Oh, how I love You. I adore You.
Oh, thank You, Lord.
Oh, thank You, Jesus. How I love You, Father. How I love You, Lord Jesus.
Glory to God in the
praise You, Jesus. Praise
thank You, Lord. Oh, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel.
Oh, hail King Jesus.
Faith just feels so encouraged in the Lord today.
Thank You, Jesus.
It's the ministry of the bride. We're watching it happen. You're part of it, brother, sister.
Praise You, Jesus.
With all my heart, I believe every one of you that asked for whatever you got it. I believe that. Those you didn't tell me, I believe you got it, brother, sister. I do. There's nothing to hinder it. Don't let the devil give you a second thought about it, brother, sister.
Praise Thy name.
You're the heirs of the kingdom, and God has given it to us, brother, sister.
Jesus.
Oh, we're waiting. Sure, we want a translation. But brother, sister, what a down payment the Lord has given to us.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Do you have that? Do you have that absolute faith right now?
Right there, just lay it down. I want you to right now by faith, lay down that knee that you put there and say, Satan, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. I don't care what happens.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I still believe it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
He'll bring God on the scene.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
You love him with all your heart?
Yes.
Oh, just love on him a little bit. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
oh,
God.
Oh, Jesus. Do you see his lovely face? By faith, can you see him today?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, your food is so beautiful,
oh, thank you, Lord
Jesus.
I like to sing that. I saw love, mercy, and grace. Oh, Jesus.
And I saw love, mercy, and grace.
Yes, Lord, I can see
that. I saw love.
I envision.